Welcome to KZI Book Review. I'm Hopeton Hay. My guest today is Coach Pete Carroll. He is the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks and the author of Win Forever, Live, Work, and Play Like a Champion. Coach Carroll, what inspired you to decide to put your philosophy down in writing and put it out as a book?
Well, about three years ago, I was at a point where I was working on creative ways to raise money for my foundation, Better LA in Los Angeles, and we wanted to, you know, try to generate the revenue streams that we could to support the fundraising efforts. And somebody suggested, you know, well, why don't you do a book? And so that's where the idea was born. And from that, I would never have been able to find the motivation, I think, to get this done if it wasn't for that cause that's so dear to my heart. So right now, that's why we're pushing hard, and we're trying to get the word out that the money goes directly to the guys working in their intervention efforts in the streets of Los Angeles. It's really important to me.
Well, one of the things that really caught my attention when I was reading the introduction of the book is how you were inspired by a book by John Wooden, and even more importantly, that you were able to look at what you had accomplished up to that date. This was about, I believe, about 6 months after you had was fired by the New York Jets. But how was it that even 26 years into a football coaching career, you were able to take a really honest look at yourself and really look at changing and writing down your philosophy?
Well, I think it goes right back to the heart of it that I discovered, and I can now define it for you. I think it's about being a competitor. You know, I think it's about competing to try and get your world in order because you want to do great things and you want to accomplish stuff. And you keep battling, and that's what happened. You know, it was. I think we all get stuck at times. We all get, you know, caught up in our own jobs and our world, and when it's not going the way we want, and something has to happen, and you gotta get a kick in the butt sometimes. And really, the moment I had reading Coach's Blue Book was really that moment for me. And then from there, you know, so many things emerged. I found that by going inside and digging out the essence and the truth of what you're all about, you can come to an agreement about what your personal philosophy is. And boy, that's powerful. It's powerful change for you when it happens, and when it takes place, you're never going to be the same. And so I'm not the same guy that went into New England 14 years ago, you know, as a head coach. I'm different, and fortunately have had a lot of different things happen for us and success for us that even perceived different by the players and the people that I entered this program to coach and stuff. So a lot has changed. A lot has worked in it.
How difficult was it to actually sit down and write down your thoughts as you looked at your philosophy? And would you recommend other people who are looking to make some major changes in how they manage their business or their careers that they sit down and write down their philosophy?
Well, I think it's just so important. You know, I just simply did it by asking questions, you know, and posing questions and making myself write down answers, you know, so you really commit a thought to paper and get the wording right so it really is representative of what you feel. You know, I define myself as a competitor. That made everything fall come to place because I the central theme in our program then became competition. And we built off of that and took over a guiding principle, a one-line thought that we're going to do things better than it's ever been done before in everything we do. And that was the guiding really theme for all of the rest of our work. And it through competition, you know, we found ways to continue to strive to find a competitive edge in everything we're doing. That's really a mindset. That's a mentality, and you can share that. So all of those things came to light. So that's just my philosophy. I'm not telling anybody else they should take that one. That's just what happened when I went through the process, and I would urge anybody to go through that, you know, because it's so enlightening and it's so empowering that you'll never be the same after it. So that's what I would encourage anybody, no matter how successful you are. You'll often find out that people just don't know what it is they feel about stuff. They haven't gone through the process, and it's most enlightening.
You're listening to KZI Book Review. I'm Hopeton Hay. My guest today is Coach Pete Carroll. He is the author of Win Forever, Live, Work, and Play Like a Champion. When you got to USC in 2001, there were some critical moments, you said, that either will help the team come together or go south. What happened in that first season in 2001 that was the critical moment that helped the team to gel?
Well, we were really 2-5 at the time. You know, we had the philosophy, and we were rocking and rolling along trying to put it together. We weren't finding much success. We found ourselves, we lost to an Oregon team at last-second field goal. We lost to a Washington team last-second field goal, and we were playing lousy. I knew we were close, but because we weren't playing the way that we were capable. And this was a team that had lost a lot of games in years past and were kind of finding ways to give up opportunities to win. We were in an Arizona game, and it was one of those games we were ahead, and they were starting to come back. You could feel the momentum of them changing at their stadium on the road. And one of our players, cornerback Chris Richard, who coaches with me now, picked the ball off in the flat, made a little move, and ran it back for a touchdown, separated the score, and we went on to win a big game. And I remember in that locker room saying to that team, we do not have to lose anymore. And you know, we may get beat sometime, but we don't have to lose anymore. And so from that point, we didn't lose very many games, you know. We won a lot of games from then on, and it's made it, that was the turn. So there was a moment that really did give us the impetus to believe in and start to believe in ourselves in the ways that winners do.
Once you were able to put your philosophy down in writing and make that big step moving forward, were there any times when you questioned whether or not you were doing the right thing as you struggled through the 2-5 season, at least 2-5 at the beginning of the 2001 season?
Yeah, there's challenges, but the lessons that I had learned really going through the New England experience, what I would do when things got hard and I thought I wasn't doing right or I needed to figure it out, you know, I'd call George Seifert up, you know, and George was my coach from San Francisco, and I also called up Bill Walsh. Those were San Francisco guys that I really believed in, thought I'd learned the things I needed to learn, and I'd go to them and they would both just pound me with, don't change, do what you know how to do, be yourself, and stay true to yourself, you know, and those were such important reminders at a time when everybody might be saying, why don't you be like this or be like that? The biggest pitfall is trying to act on somebody else's approach, somebody else's philosophy. You're gonna stumble and fall in that one. You've got to do everything you can to act in accordance with what is true in your heart and what you believe and what is most important. Otherwise, you're going to come up short and you're going to miss it. So when we don't know when we're young, we have to copy people. But as we get our experiences, we have to fight to mold our own principles if you're really going to be right.
Did you have any challenges with some of the coaches you hired or the players that came to USC not accepting the philosophy you're trying to get them to follow? And how did you handle those challenges?
No, well, not really. You know, the players early on, players were very skeptical when we first started. And, you know, because I hadn't done a whole lot, maybe that didn't help my message be strong. But they were fighting to hold on to what was. That's a common occurrence when change is coming. People start to get knocked around and their comfort zone shift, and they'd rather stay the same, even if they're getting beat to a certain extent. The coaches, no, I mean, it was a matter of training. And what I've worked really hard on is to find a way to explain and teach and define things so that I can convey the message to the coaches, because they have to stand for the message and teach it. And we have to work really hard to keep them disciplined about that. So that's an ongoing process for me, and as it is for the players, but it does start with the coaches.
Former NBA player Allen Iverson is well known for a recorded response.
I remember it.
In terms of, you know, practice, you know. But you, one of your core tenets of your philosophy is that practice is everything. Why is practice so important in light of what Allen Iverson had said, basically making disparaging remarks about going to practice?
Well, I love Allen as a player, but we don't see eye to eye in this principle here. To me, practice is the only place that you can make yourself a team. It's the only place that you can make yourself better technically and tactically. It's the only place that you have. You can go in the weight room, you can run laps, you can look at film, you can do sprints, you can do all that kind of stuff. But in a team sport like football, practice is the only place that you can coordinate all of the elements and the efforts that it takes to get things working and functioning right. So with that, you know, it's that's we spend all of our time focusing on an extraordinary practice session. It's highly disciplined, highly well-oiled machine as we go through all of the principles to get our stuff done. And that's where the place where we build our confidence. That's the place where we build our and restore our ability to trust in ourselves and one another, so that we can get the game and know we're going to win and focus like a true, you know, great performing team and great performing individuals do. But those, when you think that you're going to get beat, or you know you're not ready, or you know you're not worthy, you're going to be exactly that. And so you have to work yourself and prove to yourself that you deserve the right to feel confident and you own that. Allen Iverson is, you know, supremely confident. He doesn't need it in his term, but for the most part, players and teams all need to work diligently to develop their ways, their habits, and their right to believe in themselves and each other to be at their best.
How difficult do you think it's going to be to make the transition, or how difficult is it making the transition of having the college and USC and having the track record and reputation there that I'm sure helped you with getting the players to buy into your philosophy, as opposed to now with the Seattle Seahawks, where you have players making millions of dollars a year?
Well, I think as long as the players desire to do great things and they want to do something with their career, we're not going to have any problem. You know, I think when guys have their own agenda and they want to, you know, they, for some reason or other, they're not in agreement, they will run into problems. But those guys won't be with us very long. You know, we're going to surround ourselves with players that love to play the game, that want to achieve, that have the great will to prove who they are and what they're all about on the playing field, and will work to do that. And then when if that's the case, we're not going to have any problem. Now, we need to get all of the chemistry that it takes together. We need to get our talent together. We need to make sure everyone complements one another and are fitting everything together. And when we do that, we're going to be hard to beat. We're going to be something to contend with in the NFC West.
Has there been any tweaking of your approach, your win forever approach, as you've made this transition from college to the pros?
Well, let me give you a little illustration of that. I asked Coach Wooden one time, you know, Coach, how much do you change your philosophy from one year to the next? And he looked at me, and I felt like I was 10 years old, and I had asked the wrong question. He said, Coach, you don't change your philosophy. Your philosophy is the illustration of your core beliefs. You don't change that, but the players from one year to the next change. And so things have to kind of mold as the personalities and the makeup of your team shifts. So, and it couldn't have been more true. I'm not changing the philosophy of our approach at all. Now, our football adjusts some to the guys that we have and the guys that can do what we can do, and even some to the coaches and their abilities. But the philosophy and where we come from and what our expectations and standards are will always be the same.
You're listening to KZI Book Review. My guest is Coach Pete Carroll. He's the author of Win Forever, Live, Work, and Play Like a Champion. Talk a bit about your utilization of Abraham Maslow's Toward a Psychology of Being and your Native American philosophy of the long body. That's not that typical for a football coach.
Well, way back when I was studying in college, my sports psychology class, something came up, and I don't even know where it was introduced, but the whole concept that Maslow talked about self-actualization, was about an evolution of a person's growth and spirit to where they perform, you know, fully and completely as, you know, to their potential. And that had just stuck with me. As a matter of fact, I kind of incorporated it in my thesis work that I'd done, getting my master's degree, and it just, there were some great principles in there about achievement and about aspirations that you bring to light as you grow. And that fit in. It's not much different than what we talk about now. The whole long body concept that you mentioned was really that's a tribal principle about a group of people coming together and functioning as one. And it was one that existed when you work together, play together, hunt together, eat together, sleep together. You eventually bond in the sense where you are connected to one another, and you actually can feel each other, and you can sense each other's issues and concerns and joy and sorrow and all of that. And it's what we have an opportunity to establish when we go through the team process, the team building process. It's a coming together. It's a joining of spirits, kind of in a combined effort to do something, you know, together. And in that sense, that applies. You know, that's exactly what happens. So it's our job to create experiences that give guys a chance to bond and to give them a chance to grow closer, so they can function and count on one another to do things like they're capable of doing. So there's principles along the way that added to what this whole thing's all about putting the team together. I appreciate you bringing it up.
How does being an athlete and a coach, how applicable is that, your philosophy, in terms of people in the business world, managers and entrepreneurs? How can they use the Win Forever philosophy to be successful in business?
Well, if you see that the heart of all of the approach in our book is helping people become the best they can be. That's really what's going on here. And competing to find ways to help people realize their potential. It doesn't matter what you're doing. That mentality and that thinking and the practical applications in the book, I think, illustrate different ways that you know, these thoughts can be applied. You know, and if you want to take it even more concretely, to introduce a concept like competition that is so central to what you believe, that gives you a whole mode of operating and creating really active ways of bringing your group to realize their best. And it doesn't matter if you're in business or if you're in a family or any of that. You know, there's ways to do that. So I hope that the principles come, you know, will fit people according to where they are and what they're doing. And it isn't confined only to sports. You know, I found, you know, great acceptance as I speak to groups and interact with them that it seems to make sense. And the whole idea of being the best you can be is really something that hits home with everybody.
We only have a couple of minutes left. Talk a little bit, if you could summarize the core tenets of your philosophy.
Well, let me go back and say that the guiding line is strive to do things better than it's ever been done before. That's a huge premise for us. That's a competitor's mindset. That puts us in relentless pursuit of a competitive edge. And, you know, that really drives us to always be working. That's at the heart of it. I think that the mode that we use it to actually apply to individual situations and people's issues is we try to help people create a vision for what they want to become and what they're capable of becoming. And once that vision is really concretely constructed and the person agrees with, yeah, I can do this, this is what I'd like to do, then you're already one in motion. Now it's the job of the coach or the habits that an individual devises to keep themselves in connection with that vision so that they can stay with it until they create it. The power of us visioning and envisioning and then committing to creating a vision is so strong that we really can't stop it from happening. I'll give you an illustration. For the kids in the street of Los Angeles, if you talk to enough of them, they'll tell you that they're either going to die or they're going to jail. And that's exactly what's going to happen because that's the vision that they hold. And until we can help them reconstruct or create a vision that takes them in a more productive fashion, there's no hope for them. They'll realize that and they won't be able to stop that from happening. So it goes in both directions. And we all have the ability and the power to take on our own establishing what we want to do and where we want to go. And there's a process to doing that. It's not very complex, but it does take commitment and a willingness. Everybody really can share in that.
And last but not least, tell us a little bit about your foundation, where all the profits for the book are going to.
Yeah, we started our foundation years ago with the thought of saving lives in Los Angeles in the community. Some kids had been killed in an incident one weekend, and then by the end of the week, the tally got up to 11 kids in related incident were killed by the end of that 5-day session, and I just decided I got to try to do something about this. So I asked a friend of mine, Lou Tice from the Pacific Institute, let's get together and do something. He said, I'm in, and away we went, creating a better LA. And then we just started to work to find our way in. I always wanted to reach to the guys that were in the midst of making the decisions, really the shot callers, if you will, and see if we couldn't effectively get to those guys and give them reason to turn their world around and change it, because they had the charisma, they had the leadership ability to turn people to do horrible things, and maybe they could be that powerful leader and to do things well as well. So what we've done is we sought out guys in the community and guys that were willing to do the work, guys that had walked the walk and knew what it was all about, that wanted to change their lives, and we gave them the tools and the support so that they could be effective, and we paid them to do this work, and then we do it one person at a time, and work communities from the inside out and develop a momentum for change that is proven absolutely effective. And we're proud to tell you that it's working in L.A. We need to sustain long enough and present the example of this long enough so that the state of California will eventually take this over and implement it as a full-fledged program of a Peace Corps from within our communities that will stop the violence and settle the issues there at home in L.A. If we can do it there, we can do it anywhere, and that's a huge challenge for us. But we're up and going, and the numbers and the tendencies for things to quiet down in the areas we've worked in are extraordinary, and we're really proud of them. So we're proving the point, and we're going to keep hammering it home.
Pete Carroll, head coach of the Seattle Seahawks and author of Win Forever, Live, Work, and Play Like a Champion. Thank you very much for being a guest on KZI Book Review.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.